Going on, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, I need my two volunteers to come up. No, I've already got them. Need my two volunteers to come up. You don't have to. I'll just get willing vessels. All right, who will read for me John, the Gospel of John, chapter 17? I got to find it. It's verses 14 through 19. Who will read that for me out loud? He'll do it. Okay, Michael, you'll read it? You got it? Find it. 17. John 17. Yep, it's 14 through 19. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Yeah, and I got another one in Revelation. I need another volunteer for that one.
Okay, John 17.
Yeah, 14 through 19. Menti, come on forward. Come up forward, all the way up front. Before you do that, Lincoln, would you stand up? Lincoln, when's your birthday? Today, let's sing happy birthday to Lincoln. Let's do it. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Lincoln.
Happy birthday to you.
Did you get your turtle yet? Praise the Lord. You got it. Hey, praise God. Amen. Anybody else have a birthday this week? We're not going to sing to you. Okay, praise the Lord. Go ahead and read, Michael. Go ahead.
14 through 19.
Yeah, Minty, come on. Oh, there you are. Okay, thanks. Go ahead.
I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth.
Okay, praise the Lord. So I love that. It says, Jesus is calling people out of the world, isn't he? He called his early disciples out of the world, and he's telling them, I'm calling you guys out of the world. Do you know Jesus is calling you out of the world? Amen. Man, I got a lot to say about it, but I got to wait. Go ahead, Menti, read it in Revelation 18, 2 through 4.
And
Jeff,
he,
not revelations, Jeff. Revelation. Go ahead.
And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth had committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues.
Amen. Thank you very much. You guys get that? He's talking about coming out of Babylon, isn't he? Amen. So I'm going to talk about healing a little bit, but before we do, I want to lay a foundation
about coming out from the world and coming out from Babylon and what God actually did in Christ for you. John the Revelator is speaking by the Holy Spirit. God is speaking here, and he's telling his people, hey, come out from Babylon. Babylon is the world system. In the Old Testament, there were other places like Egypt. Really, Egypt and Babylon would be very similar. They're the kingdoms of this world. And God has called us out as a people to escape from Babylon. He says, if you participate in this world system, you're going to be under her curses. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you won't have curses thrown at you and bad things happen to you, but God is calling you out of that and into his marvelous light. But if we choose to walk in Babylon, if we choose to live in Babylon, and we choose to walk like the people in this world walk, the Bible says we're going to partake of her. Whatever she gets is what we get. Doesn't sound like a good deal, does it? And all through the scriptures, you will see God called people out to save. Look at Noah and Noah's ark. Didn't God call a righteous man, a man that he sealed in the ark, he called him out to protect him? When the death angel went through Egypt, the nation of Egypt, they had the blood of Jesus put on the doorpost of every house, the blood of a lamb in Egypt put on the doorpost of every house. And when that death angel passed by, he passed by the people of God, but he did not pass by the Egyptians, did he? There is a world system, and it's full of darkness, and there is also a heavenly system, and it is full of light. We're going to talk more about that. I ran into a guy at the bike path. I really wanted, and I don't know if we have time, I wanted you to share your testimony about Goodwill. I wanted you to share your testimony. I wanted you to share yours about sharing with those people that you shared with this week, and maybe we'll do that next week. But I ran into a guy at the bike path. I won't give you his name. But as I started to talk to him, and when I run into somebody, I just assume that God wants me to talk to them about Jesus. Amen? Amen? There he is. There I am. What better to talk about than Jesus? Amen? So we start talking about Jesus, and we had a conversation. And what I normally do is I create a conversation. Then as soon as I brought up the Lord, he kind of got a little smile on his face. And what I found out was this young man, his mom was a Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled Christian woman, and she raised him in the Lord, but at a certain age, he walked away from his mother's faith. He walked away from the Lord. And he was telling me about all these things on YouTube that he was about the Bible, about how the Catholic Church corrupted the Bible, about how we didn't really know if there was Jesus was really real, and all these things that you hear from people. But he doesn't understand who he's talking to, first of all. He really doesn't, and I've studied this stuff out. I've looked it up. I've studied it, and all that stuff is just a lie, and it's been a lie. Pam and I actually, we watched a movie. It was PG. I didn't know if we're old enough to watch it, but we did anyway. Our parents weren't there, but we did watch it, and it was so crazy because it started, this guy in the movie was allegedly like a Cro-Magnon man, and he had been around for like 4,000 years or something, but as 14,000 years in this movie, PG movie, wasn't too bad. Anyway, and we were enjoying it, but all of a sudden the movie took a turn for the surreal. And I can't get into it, but this guy actually wound up that he was Jesus. Like, but the thing was, everything that Jesus really was, he refuted that. And he started going through that same old thing, Bible's corrupted by the Catholic Church, and Moses was really somebody else and all this, you know, going on and on and on. The people out in the world, the same thing this guy at the bike path was telling me. But what I know because I've studied it, you know, we have over 5,000 copies or manuscripts of the New Testament. And the oldest one we have is actually, it's a little fragment of the Gospel of John. It's dated somewhere between AD 110 and AD 130. Very recent manuscript. We know where the Bible came from. We know the Catholic Church didn't corrupt it. That's a lie. No one corrupted it. Like I said, we have over 5,000 manuscripts, and get this, they all agree. Amen. They got minor variances, little different grammatic structures sometime in the different translations of it, but nothing is essentially different in one translation or one manuscript than another. In fact, when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, when they looked them up, it was amazing how much the Dead Sea Scrolls agreed with the Septuagint. Minor differences, but overall, it was the same prophecies, the same message. No, the Bible hasn't been corrupted. No, the Catholic Church didn't change things. That's a crock. And kids fall for it. Why do we fall for it? Because you're looking for a way out not to believe in your mama's Jesus. The Bible says they're willfully ignorant. That's what it says. They're willfully ignorant. They don't want to believe it. And if I passed it around, you wouldn't listen to me, so I'm not going to pass it around. because you would look at this, but it tells you how we got the Bible. And yes, there are a variety of translations. There are many translations. But we know the copies that we have of the Greek manuscripts are inspired, reliable, authoritative. We know that. Don't let anybody tell you different. Plus, when they talk about Jesus being mythological, you can go into the scriptures, and Jesus was and is a space-time person. He really existed. There were over 500 witnesses that saw him after he rose from the dead. There's people that wrote about him, not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There were others. Josephus, an early Jewish historian, testified to him. Philo mentioned him. There is more, and they were in this show. They were talking about how this guy met Buddha, and Jesus just really copied Buddha's teaching. The problem is there's more evidence for historical Jesus than there is for a historical Buddha. Way more. Why do they do that? They're not afraid of Buddha. You can believe in Buddha and go straight to Hades. The devil ain't afraid of Buddha. He's afraid of Jesus because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the one that can save you from this world system. He can save you in greater ways than you can imagine. You may look at this, but you may not take it home. I didn't argue with the guy. I really didn't. Because I know I've been down this road before. They are willfully ignorant. And that TV show, I was kind of enjoying it for a minute. Then when it went weird, I went, you got to be kidding me. The same old stuff. No, you can rely on your Bible, your mama's Bible. You can rely on that Holy Spirit that's in you. Look, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. The same experience that the apostles had, I had. The same one. When that Holy Spirit came and filled them and they spoke in tongues and it totally changed their life, that's what happened to me. Now, either I'm lying to you or I'm crazy or I'm telling you the truth. Make your pick. Don't say it out loud, though. I got knocked over on my back when they laid hands on me. And the Holy Spirit came into me. And I started praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues and praying. And I came out of that prayer room. I quit smoking. I quit drinking. I put my inappropriate stuff away. And I was a totally different person. Because it was a Holy Spirit that came to live inside of me. It wasn't an unholy spirit. It was the real Spirit of God that came to live inside of me. How about you? Anybody else say amen?
Amen.
And since that time until now, no, I'm not perfect. I haven't done everything right. And yeah, the enemy tries to come in to all of us and tries to get you to doubt your faith. But he's such a liar. And this is what the Lord showed me. And I know it's true. In the Gospel of John, in the first chapter, I think it's around verse 9, could be verse 10. It says, Jesus came into the world, and it said, he lighteth every man. He lighteth every man. I really believe that God communicates to every human being in the earth. And you may not hear the gospel of Jesus if you're somewhere in Africa or you're somewhere in India, but I really believe that God lights everybody. He comes in and talks to them, talks to their conscience. Tells them what's right and wrong, the Spirit of God. And every single person has a choice whether they're going to obey the Lord or not, obey that light. We have stories of that in cultures where, you know, they had light coming to them about how to live right. I'm not saying it's Jesus. It's not what I'm saying at all. It's just God lights every man that comes into this world. And we have to make a choice whether we're going to do right or we're going to do wrong. And I believe this young man, God lighted him. Spoke the gospel to him, and he chose, just like I did when I was 18, I wanted to sin. Anybody else want to sin when they were 18 years old? 17, 16, 15, 14? Anybody else want to, what kind of, man, I don't want to just pull taffy on Friday nights and watch Walt Disney. I want to have fun because you don't really understand what fun is. And you go out in the world, and you find out, oh, it's a mess out here. We run into prostitutes and drug addicts and people every day that found out the world takes you further than you want to go and keeps you longer than you want to stay. We see people dying. We literally see people dying out there for a lie because the devil's a liar. believing a lie, that there's something we're missing, there's something fun. Well, I did that for a while, and you know my testimony, most of you. I wrecked my life until God sent the great King Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit into my life, and Jesus came back into my life and saved me. And He took me out of darkness, and He put me into light. I really believe this whole world lies in darkness. Folks, I don't believe in evolution. I believe it's the biggest scam. I believe it's the biggest scam. And when you get to heaven, you come talk to me, and you're going to see it's the biggest scam ever perpetrated on modern man. The world system doesn't even allow debate or other voices to come in when they have evidence against it, and they have plenty of evidence against it, but when they do, they won't even let them speak it. You can't get in their journals. You can't talk about it. They'll fire you from their colleges. They won't give you tenure. There's been a few people standing up lately. I wish I'd looked the guy's name up, down at Rice University, a PhD, very famous scientist has come out and said, evolution's impossible. And he's challenged anybody, if you think of his name, let me know if you guys, but he's challenged anybody to a debate over it, but no one will accept his debate. He says, because at the molecular, at the gene level, the DNA, they're so complicated, there is no way they could chemically, randomly come together. It is virtually impossible for that to happen. And they have way more evidence. If you get ID the Future, Intelligent Design, or Creation Research, or these, when you go in and just listen to them, you can learn why it's a crock, and it is a crock. But you'll never know that when you go to school. You're taught it, and you'll believe it, and you'll doubt your faith, and you'll click off these other, there is so much more evidence that it's a crock, and I can't go into that's not my purpose. But these lies are everywhere. I believe we have a totally corrupt political system. And by the way, having said that, there's voting on Tuesday. You should go look up the candidates, see what they stand for, turn the TV off. ABC and NBC and CBS lie to you. I can't believe anybody still watches it. I would click it off. They do not tell you the truth. They have an agenda. They're part of the media and the world system. You throw Fox in there too. I'm sorry, I want to be an equal opportunity. Fox, ABC, NBC, they're equal opportunity liars. They have agendas. We know that. Go in and see what they believe in. Look down the line and vote accordingly. Go look them up. There they are. You know, and when you vote in, which I can't get into that now, I'll get off my track. When you vote in the fall, go look on what the parties believe and stand for and vote accordingly. They vote in a block. You know that, right? Just go look at what they stand for, and wherever your heart, go with it, follow your conscience and vote, but look it up. James Torr, that's him. James Torr, is it Rice University? Yeah, James Torr from Rice University. Look him up on YouTube. James Torr, Rice University, YouTube, look it up. But you should vote on Tuesday. But I really believe there is so much corruption and so much lying, and it's so hard to get the truth. I just read something recently about a medical doctor from Harvard, and there's been many of them. People, when they disagree with what's on NBC, ABC, and CBS, if it doesn't agree with where we're heading, they lock them out. They don't let them have a voice. Surely you know that. Surely you know that. If it disagrees, I don't care where you line up. Right now, at this moment, I don't care where you line up on it, but if it disagrees with what's going on down the mainstream, it's the world system, they lock it out. You've got to find out some other way. It's the truth. I'm not going to weigh into it too much. What winds up is they wind up telling you that a baby is a clump of cells, and a boy can be a girl, and a girl can be a boy. It's insanity. I love everybody. People that are sexually confused, I love them. I approach them and I talk to them about Jesus. I love everybody. I'm an equal opportunity lover. But I do not love the corruption in the system and the confusion in the system. It's not true. A girl cannot be a boy biologically. It's impossible. Amen. It's impossible. It's impossible. But the world will lie, and they'll pump stuff at you. Just read your Bible. I'm going to get somewhere. This really wasn't Just read your Bible and see the revelation, what God has given us, this reliable Bible, and what God says. And it's really just common sense anyway. Someone say amen.
Amen.
But what I'm saying, things are corrupted out there. You have to pray. You've got to do your own research and pray and dig into things. And you should read your Bible, because the truth is in the Word of God. And the truth is in the Spirit of God. And that thing, that deception actually goes to the left and to the right, by the way, because it's a world system. I know one thing the enemy loves to do is get people that think left and people that think right to hate each other. Just constantly shooting barbs at each other and hate. I don't hate anybody. I don't hate anybody. I want to tell you about Jesus. I've got a gospel to preach. I've got to stand up and preach Jesus. I've got to tell you, somebody died for you. Somebody loves you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. What does this have to do with healing, Brother Brad? Well, I want to tell you, but someone stand up and read Exodus chapter, I'll go ahead and read it to save time. We read this morning that God has called a people to himself out of this world and out of this world system, hasn't he? Folks, being called out of the world system is way more than just going to church on Sunday morning. It's a whole way of living. It's a whole way of thinking. When you are born again, and I've taught this a lot, you are translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into God's kingdom of light. You become light. You literally become the answer for somebody else. You have nothing to fear the rest of your life. Jesus said, don't fear those that can kill your body but can't take your soul. So the rest of your life, you have nothing to fear. You can walk through life. Your destiny's set. God is my Father. Jesus is my brother. And the blessed Holy Spirit is my guide. I've got angels protecting me. And until I accomplish what God wants me to accomplish, they're not going to get a hair on my bald head. They're not going to touch me or take me. If I get thrown in the fire, I will not burn. As long as I'm on mission, as long as I'm fulfilling my purpose, as long as I'm not walking in Babylon, I don't have anything to fear. Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. I'm going to get where God says go. Like Jonah, I had to get swallowed by a whale, but I'm going to get where God said go. I don't know if anybody's coming with me, but I'm going. I've had those conversations with Jesus. Jesus, it could be me and you, but I'm going. I could be like Noah building an ark and people think I'm crazy, but I'm going to build an ark anyway. What's an ark? Everybody listen to Bill Cosby? What's an ark? Remember that? Noah, build an ark. What's an ark? Amen. Folks, we are called up out of this world system. Why do we want to? In Colossians 2, Paul the Apostle said, you died to this world. Why are you touch not, taste not, handle not, this and that? You're dead to this world. Why are you arguing about touching and tasting and handling? You've died to this world and everything that belongs to it. You've been risen into a new kingdom. He tells them just in the next chapter, you've been raised with Jesus Christ. Put your affection on things up there, because you are quite literally seated with God in heavenly places right now. Get your head up. Get your head up. Get your head up. Amen? I'm excited. Praise the Lord. Oh, I got so much to preach, Lord. So little time. From the beginning, when God called out a people, he chose the people of Israel. He chose Abraham. Why? I don't know. He chose them. A lot of times when you see election in the Bible, it's talking about Israel. You need to rightly divide the word. He's talking about Israel. He elected Israel. I chose Israel, and that's it. It's done. They're chosen. You've been chosen too. Woo! Jesus. I could get so far ahead of myself. Lord, help me, Lord. He called a people out of the world. Cash, imagine the world is Egypt, right? The children of Israel are in Egypt. God is saying, I am taking you and I'm removing you from bondage. They control your money. They control your children. They actually control your health. They control everything about you. I am going to take you out of this world system. I'm going to apply the blood. I'm calling you. Come out in the, I will deal with Pharaoh, type of the devil. And I'll deal with Egypt, a type of the world. And they said, how can that be? Well, God had a man. God had a man. He's always got a man or a woman that'll stand up, like Deborah or Moses. They'll stand up and they'll obey the Lord. And Moses led the people of God out of Egypt, out of the world system. The blood was applied, the sin was dealt with, and they not only the Pharaoh at one time, you need to hear this, you need to hear this. At one time he says, hey, you can go and you can worship your God out there in the fields, but you can't bring your cattle and you can't bring your kids. That's what they did in Russia. They said, you can worship God, but your kids can't come to church with you, and we want your money. So we'll control your money. We'll control your kids. Go ahead and have your religion. That's fine. Moses said, no way, Jose. God said, no way. We're coming out. Someone say, I'm coming out. My kids are coming out, and my cattle is coming out, and I'm going to stand here until God delivers me, my kids, and my cattle. You say, Brother Brad, I don't have a cow. Then he's going to take your money. You're not dependent on this world. So after God delivered them, he started revealing himself progressively. How many know the Bible is a book of progressive revelation? Many people don't. When they read the Old Testament, they don't understand God's dealing with a people, the Jews, in a particular time under the law of Moses. And things progress. Jesus fulfills that law. I believe it's Matthew 5:17. He fulfills that law, lays it aside, and now he's inherited every promise in the law. 2 Corinthians 1:16, 15, 17. He's inherited all the promises from God. He's fulfilled it. He's inherited the promises, and he told his kids, go preach about me. Go tell everybody about me. Amen. Amen. We're in a new covenant with God. It's about Jesus. But he was taking the children of Israel out, and he was going to progressively reveal himself to them. And one of the first covenant names that he revealed himself to, listen to this. He said to them in Exodus chapter 15, praise the Lord, verse 26, he said, if you will carefully obey the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, pay attention to his commands and keep all his statutes. I will not inflict any illnesses on you that I inflicted on the Egyptians. Get this. For I am the Lord who heals you. Is that what your Bible says? I'm the Lord that heals you. That actually is Yahweh, the covenant name of God. Some people say Jehovah. It's Yahweh. You really can't. Do you know you can't pronounce the vowels in God's name if you're Jewish? It's like YW, what is it, YH? They didn't have vowels, so people aren't really sure exactly how you pronounce it. We say Yahweh. He's saying, I am Yahweh Rapha. You ever been to a hospital called Rapha? Rapha means healing. You ever seen a snake on the pole, by the way, at a hospital? Jesus was that snake on the pole. When the Egyptians were getting bit by snakes, they killed a snake, they put it on a pole, said, look at that snake, and you'll be healed. You know that story? Yes. Jesus was that curse for you. Amen. I don't have time to get there. He says, I am the Lord that heals you. Now, if that's all that God said about it, it could be pretty innocuous. Maybe we wouldn't understand it. But he goes out through the law and the prophets and the Psalms and into the New Testament, and there is a constant theme, I am the Lord who heals you. Flip over to Exodus 23, 25. Are you guys still with me? Yeah. I got to slow down so I can teach you something. I'd much rather preach. I want to preach. No, I got to slow down and teach a little bit. There's so much you can say here, so much that I don't have time to get into. Exodus 23, 25. I'll say Exodus 23, 24. Do not bow down and worship their gods. Do not serve them. Do not imitate their practices. Instead, demolish them. Smash their sacred pillars to pieces. Jesus, you are my king. I'm not going to serve their gods. I'm not going to go to someone's house. I'm going to smash them in my own heart. And I'm not going to have a worship in my heart of anything but Jesus. If any idols in there, let's just smash them. Jesus, you're my king. Serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove, what's your say? Sicknesses away from you. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he'll bless your bread and your water, and he will remove sickness away from you. I hate to slow down, Jesus. Psalms 103:3, turn there. Folks, this is only a part. This is a piece of being saved from Egypt or being saved from Babylon. This is a piece of it. This is a piece of it. You're saved to be holy. You're saved to be bold for Jesus. You're saved to be righteous. You're saved to declare the glories of God. You're saved to be fearless. You are a light to those in darkness. You are. David said in Psalms 103, verse 1, my soul bless the Lord, or bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I am convinced if we really knew who Jesus was, we would come in here and we'd all be like, bless the Lord, Jesus, you're my king. We'd be singing, all that is within me. I'm not just like, Lord, I'm really tired. I got to bed late last night. When's service going to be over? Is Arby's open? Where's Chick-fil-A? Is it open, Lord? You are my king. Maybe Dunkin' Donut will be open, Lord. Praise God. Wait, what did Pam say? We're going to Jesse's after church. You are my king. We would come in and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and do not forget his benefits. He forgives all your iniquity. Someone read it. So I don't have a trick Bible, right? He heals all your diseases. We say we're people of God, right? We say we're people of the book. We say that we believe it. I found out there are many Christians that don't even believe you're safe from sin. Why would I be so, don't understand that people don't believe this? There are people that don't even believe they're safe from sin. And clearly we are, amen? Whoever the Son sets free is... You are dead to and alive to. You're dead to sin. We just got to find out. We just got to discover. We're dead to sin. Well, people don't even believe that. He says he forgives all your iniquities or all your sins, and he heals all your diseases. For the sake of time, flip over to Isaiah 53. I'm reading from the CSB, and King James will read a little different, but we can sort that out real quick. He was despised and rejected by men. This is verse 3. He was a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we did not value him. The world does not value Jesus. Yet he bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. But we, in turn, regarded him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion. He was crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him. Do you know you're supposed to have peace? Because the punishment for you to have peace was on him, and that's why we're not supposed to worry. Because our peace is on him. Jesus paid for your peace. And by his wounds, by his stripes, you were healed. Now, it's very interesting. The King James says griefs and sorrows. In other places, they translate that sicknesses and pains. The Greek word, the Hebrew word for sorrows there is macabre. It actually means pains. And I'm going to show it to you why it means that. Some translations have it right. Some don't. And the word chloe or choli is the word for sicknesses. And it's translated sicknesses throughout the scriptures. But here's proof positive that is what it should be. Flip over to Matthew chapter 8. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. Flip to Matthew chapter 8. The Bible interprets itself, so you can check me here. Jesus is going around and he's doing good and he's healing people. It says he drove, in verse 16, it says he drove out the spirits with a word and he healed all that were sick. Doesn't it say that? In the next verse, it says, so that which was spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. What does your translation say there? Someone read it. Might be fulfilled. He himself bore our infirmities and he took our sicknesses. That's a quote from Isaiah 53:4. Matthew's telling you what it literally said. Sicknesses, weaknesses, infirmities, pains. Jesus took them. That's why when you see in the Old Testament when God is progressively revealing himself and he's revealing himself as Jehovah, our healer, through there, Jesus shows up to fulfill the Old Testament, and that's why he's healing people. He is quite literally Jehovah Rapha. Do you believe Jesus was God? I do. Do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? I do. Do you believe he fulfilled the scriptures? I do. And he was going around fulfilling the scriptures. That is why, Royal, you are complete in him, because he's the head of all principality and power. And you're in him right now. And when we walk in him, we can trust him, rely on him. You're in the ark. Someone say, I'm in the ark. Flip back to Matthew 4. I've got to close. I got another one to go to, but I'm closing. Folks, there's no condemnation. Every testimony we had about being healed from cancer, every single person had gone to a doctor, didn't they? And we're not condemning you if you're sick. If you think that, the devil's already bending your mind. Jesus is the answer. He's not a condemner. He's trying to show you something. He's your hope. I'd rather hobble into the kingdom than be healed and go to hell. Don't let the devil twist this. It's not about condemnation. It's about what Jesus did for you. In Matthew 4, after Jesus, he fasted and he overcame the devil and he won. The first thing, he called followers. And then in chapter 4, verse 23, it says, Jesus began to go all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. It's not bad news. And healing every disease and every sickness among the people. Why? Because he's Jehovah Rapha. Can you see it? I wish I could get into it more. I really do. We actually need a 5-day seminar, 10-day seminar, and I preach 2 hours every day from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus is God. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Makadesh. He is God, our righteousness. He is God, our sanctifier. He is God, our healer. He is God, our provider. He is God, our blesser. That's why we put our faith in Jesus. He was healing people everywhere. We're going to pray here in a second. If you need to leave and you need to go, just go quietly when we pray. But we're going to lay hands on people and believe God for sicknesses healed. And I know you got a lot of questions, and maybe over the coming weeks we'll probably have a service where we just have question and answer. But I can't do that today. Flip over to 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to end this how I began. We're going to pray for people. Folks, in James, don't go there, but you can write it down. It's on the tape. In James chapter 5, I think it's verse 16, 17, around there, it tells you, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church, and the prayer of unbelief will heal the sick. Right? It says the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Faith is based on what the Word of God says. Did you know that? Faith comes by and hearing by. So we have to preach the Word of God. There's no condemnation. If you're struggling with a sin, we're not saying that. If you're struggling with a sin, does that mean that God's Word's not true, that He didn't deliver you from sin? If you don't have peace right now, does that mean Jesus doesn't have your peace? No, it means we got to make a connection. I got into this message by telling you there's two systems out there. There's God's system. Jesus said that. Do you know what in Matthew Jesus said? He talked about unrighteous mammon and not being a servant or a slave to money or unrighteous mammon. That's a system where you're under control of money. Just like Egypt controlled the children of Israel. They controlled their money. They controlled their cattle. They controlled their kids. That's mammon. The only way we'll ever get free from mammon or Beelzebub is we make a transfer out of the system of money and we begin to live in God's kingdom. Amen. I know where I was going. I got to go there. You'll get me. It's not even noon yet. I'm going to go. I got a reference. I'm going to go there quick. In Acts 10:38. And I got part two coming on this, and that's probably a primer into part two. There's so much more. In Acts 10:38, it says, everywhere that Jesus went, he was doing good, and he was healing all of those that were oppressed by God. Why do you always say, why is God making me sick? Why do we say that? People say it all the time. Why is God making me sick? They were oppressed by who? You can find that all through the New Testament. Did Jesus ever cast God out of someone to get him healed? How many times did Jesus heal people? How many times did he say, God, come out of them? Not once did he. He said, Satan, come out. There was a woman that was bowed down for 15 years, and she was bowed down. She had been to all these doctors, and she couldn't get any better. And Jesus said, ought not this daughter of Abraham, that's a covenant woman, daughter of Abraham, shouldn't she be healed whom God has oppressed these many years? Satan has oppressed these men. Jesus is unveiling something that's almost cloaked in the Old Testament. You can't see it because they didn't see Jesus either. Now Jesus is showing up to his people. He only went to his people. He had a few that were not from his people, and they were pressing into the kingdom from the Gentile. But he said, only go to my people. He was fulfilling the covenant of Jehovah Jireh. This covenant woman should be healed. He cast out the demon, and her back straightened right up. I could go so much further, and when I preach on this again, I'm going to. I got other stuff, but I want to read this, where I came in. I want to go out. First John 5:18, verse 18 and 19. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not sin. What? But the one who is born of God, God keeps him. And the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God and that the whole world is under the sway of? What does yours say? The whole world is under the sway of who? He's a deceiver and he's a liar and he's an unbeliever. He don't believe the Bible's inspired. He believes the Catholics made it up. He lies to you about everything. And if you're hooked into the world and that's all you listen to, the TV, the music, and the sound bites from we watched a movie. I'm not saying it's wrong to watch a movie or something. But if you're just hooked into this world, okay, then you're being lied to all the time. And Satan's very happy. The day that you put your prey to a living God and put your nose in this book, that's the day that you can be set free. Because Jesus is the truth. And he's telling you the truth. How many of you want to come completely out of Egypt? You want to come out of Babylon, the world system? You don't do it by having one toe in and one toe out. You don't. It don't work that way. You may be saved and on your way to heaven. We can talk about that. But the kingdom of God doesn't work. You're in. You remember that song, you better get in or get out or get run over. Anybody remember that? I'm the only Pentecostal here, ain't I? You better get in or get out or get run over. You got to get in or get out. You can't have one toe in and one toe out. If you're struggling, it's not wrong. My beautiful brother, P.T. Christopher, just went to be with the Lord this past week. Beautiful brother. No condemnation in Christ. But the Bible says he bore your sicknesses, and that's just the plain truth of what the Word of God says. If you will believe God, the Word of God says he'll heal you. And there is no exception to it. I've looked up and down trying to find one. There's none. It doesn't give you one. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. The Bible says it was a messenger from who? The devil. To get rid of the thorn in the flesh isn't getting rid of God. It's getting rid of who? The devil. Besides that, you're not Paul anyway. So I want to pray for you today, for your sicknesses. You got them. I want to believe. Folks, we all fight that doubt and unbelief. We've got to get our nose in the book, and we've got to see. That is why for the month of February, Herb, can you take this for me? That is why for the month of February, we gave testimonies of Sister Amanda being healed of cancer. In fact, the last time she got cancer, you didn't even go to the doctor. She just said, I don't receive it. I don't got cancer. Do you got cancer? How old were you when that happened? She said, no. They told her she had cancer. She goes, no, I don't. I don't got it. Never went back to the doctor. And there she sits right there. She said, I'm not taking cancer. I'm not taking it. You guys heard her testimony, didn't you? Sister Tammy Limley came and she got healed from cancer twice. Kathleen was here 2 weeks ago, was it, or 3 weeks ago? She got healed twice from cancer. She was dying. The doctors gave her up. Make your will. There's no hope for her. She's dying. I think it was on her birthday or the anniversary of when they said she was going to die. Her death day. The day said she would die by. On that day, she went up higher than a Bitcoin tracker. She went up there and she just, doop, 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 doop. All her numbers, all her counts went through the top. And she got uphealed and she came here and spoke 3 weeks ago. Amen. Charlie talked to us, the elders prayed and had something going on in his body. He said, I'm just going to believe God. And he started bleeding in Israel. And he just believed God through the whole thing. And they, whatever it was, he had some of the best doctors in the world cut that thing right out of his body. And he's cancer free. Amen. Whatever it was, they cut it out. He's cancer free today. And he shared that testimony with us. He was crippled one time, laying on a bed, couldn't walk or anything. And just one day, felt numbness in his hand, just a little bit of feeling in his hand. And then it progressed, and it progressed, and it progressed, and he got up off that bed. And that's why Charlie's standing here today. Amen. I'm not backing away from this, nor am I offering condemnation to you. If you're struggling with something, we'll just walk through it together. If you had a bad marriage, we're going to walk with you through the whole thing. If you're struggling with sin, we're going to walk with you through the whole thing, to hell and back. But we're going to believe God in this area because the Word commands us to. Maybe we need to do a little fasting. That's where I was going. I don't have time. It's 5 after. Matthew 17 was where I was going. I don't have time. So let's do this. And then if you need to leave, Talon, are you tied up with children? Probably. It looks like you are. Yeah. If you are, is, I don't know if Kelly, if someone can help, if they can't, I'd like to do a little strumming. And if you need to leave, you can leave. But if you need healing in your body, where did that oil go? Pam has it. There it is. Pam, come stand with me. If you need healing in your body and you want to believe God, you're ready to believe God. It is called a fight of faith. I want to pray and believe God with you. What's so amazing today is I have a good friend here. How long has it been since I've seen you? Been a 10 years, 5, 10 years. He came here today so we could pray for his leg. Didn't even know us. So I invited your friend to come. Wasn't feeling good. I'll probably go see him and pray for him. I just wanted to see if he'd come this morning. Okay. I'll go visit him. But if you need prayer today, just right now, come forward. Just stand up here and line up right here. Alan, can you get up here? We're going to pray for you. Is there anybody else?